the difference. James chapter 4, in the closing moments of this year, we want to turn to the Word of God. James chapter 4, let's read from verse number 10. Let's hear the Word of God. James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor which appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Epistle of James is a very practical handbook for Christian living. It details very clearly some of the realities we face in life and how to deal with them in a way that will bring glory to God. Some of the very practical aspects that are emphasized, for example, chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. There's a very practical thing. How often we do lack wisdom, how often we don't know the way ahead, how often we don't know the right decision to make, but we just go ahead anyway, don't we? But here is a very practical piece of advice. If you lack wisdom, if you need guidance, ask the Lord. He giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. There are many verses like that, again, verse number 22 of chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And we can go out through this book and pick various parts, but the challenge that I want to leave before you is found in the passage that we read, especially from verse 13 down to verse number 16, because it emphasizes several things that really are important for us to consider and put into place. The subject that's being dealt with in verses 13 to 16 is the sin of presumption and the sin of pride. That assumption that my plans that I make will work out, and what I plan will be done, and the plans that I make are going to be fulfilled in my way. Now, planning itself is not wrong. In fact, the scripture commends those as wise who make plans. But the problem with the plans that are made in this passage is that God is left out of them. We will go here and we will go there and we will stay here and we will buy and we will sell and we will build up our business and all of these things, and that idea is found in those verses. But in verse 14, we are reminded of the limitation of our knowledge. It says, "Ye know not what shall be on the morrow." God knows all things, and we have such a limitation of the unforeseen. You know, tomorrow, if we see it, may hold great opportunity. It may hold health and productivity for us. But it also may hold illness. It may hold circumstances that mean our plans are not fulfilled. A period of want may arise, or some matter that turns us away from what we intend to do. Something as simple as a heavy fall of snow when the plans of man are put on hold in this country. We do not know what will be on the morrow. So therefore in verse 15 it says, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And here is the way to plan wisely. It is to write over each plan in the will of the Lord. In the will of the Lord, or Lord willing. The initials DV are maybe not used just so much today, but certainly from the times of the Puritans when they came into use And right through the height of the popularity during the Victorian era, Christians would use these letters, or as they signed their personal correspondence, acknowledging that only God can bring things to pass. DV, it is initials for the Latin words Deo Volente, which literally means Lord willing, in the will of the Lord. And that's the way we should make our plans. That's the way we should plan ahead. We are not to leave the Lord out of our plans. Verse 16 tells us that such rejoicing is evil. Rejoicing in your plans and assuming that your plans are going to be fulfilled, that's wickedness, it's sin, it's evil. Because you do not know what tomorrow holds. And therefore, stop acting as you have got forever. Stop acting as if you know what tomorrow holds. And humble yourself and make your plans according to the word of God and make them subject to the will of God. But in the midst of this teaching, there is a question in verse 14. It says, what is your life? And there are various answers to that in the Bible, what our lives are. In the book of Job, our lives are described as a flower. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and it continueth not. In the book of Psalms, we're told that our lives are like a tale that is told. We spend our years as the tale is told. Here in James chapter 4, verse 14, we're told that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the brevity of life is highlighted in those three descriptions. And what I simply want to leave before you is three words that the Lord has laid in my heart as we enter into a new year in a few moments' time. And those three words are found in John 4 and verse number 14. And it is these words, a little time. A little time. Friend, that's how your life is described. And my life is described by the Lord. It's just a little time. That's a reality for us all. We have an allocated amount of time upon this earth. The billionaire, the founder of Microsoft, Bill Gates, was asked what one thing he would wish for in life. And his response was, more time. But despite all of his millions, he had an allocated amount of time upon this earth, and he couldn't buy one second more. A little time. Remember that everything that has happened previous to this moment has been time spent. Those days cannot be relived or reallocated. They are gone, and the record is made. And therefore, we ought to consider how we have used our lives up until now and how we're going to use them in the incoming year. And the Word of God says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I came across some statistics that may just highlight how little our time is. And I know if you're very young and you're looking down the line of that average lifespan of about 80 years, it seems at times like forever. But those who have gone down the path a little further testify that it's so quick. We think we've all the time in the world. So much time to do so many things, but listen to some of these statistics. Over an 80-year lifespan, the average British person spends their time in the following way. So you have 80 years. 27 of those years are spent asleep in bed. 27 of them where we can do absolutely nothing because we're asleep or resting. 10 to 12 of those years are spent working. 3 of those years on holidays. Whenever you add up all the different events, you find that 2 full years are spent cooking and doing chores. 17 months of your life you spend standing waiting for food to cook. 7 to 8 months of your life is spent waiting in queues. 6 months of your life sitting in traffic jams. 80 years, that is 29,200 days. Really, it's a little time. Just a little time. And therefore, I want us to think about that for a moment as a challenge, first of all, to the Christian, and a warning to the sinner. Dear Christian, you have a little time. Just a little time to pray. You have loved ones and friends who need the Savior. Your church needs your prayers. You and your family need to be bathed in prayer, yet how often this part of the Christian life is neglected. We promise to do better tomorrow. We promise to be serious about prayer next week. But we're missing out on the blessing now. You've just a little time upon this earth. A little time to pray. You've just a little time to serve and to love the lost for Christ. The work of the Lord needs laborers, and I've already given some of the statistics. Years and years and years are taken up with work and with sleep and with cooking and with travel and all of those things. We've just a little time left to offer. And the work of God needs fellow laborers, those who will be faithful in the cause of promoting the gospel of Christ, doing their service and attending the house of God, in prayer and witnessing and living for the Savior, doing what he has called you to do. You've just a little time to do it. I would also say this, you've just a little time to enjoy your walk with God on this earth. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is a very important matter, because sometimes we live with the mindset, whenever everything is perfect in my circumstances, whenever every problem is sorted in my life, whenever every prayer is answered and everything is as I want it to be, then I'll enjoy my walk with the Lord. I'll rejoice in that day. But the Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. And we are to rejoice and be glad in it. And while it may not be an easy day, it's a good day because God has given it. And when God gives you a day and God gives you opportunity to live, then God will give you grace to live in that day and to enjoy that day and to have that peace that passeth understanding in that day if we follow his word and keep our minds fixed upon him. I read of a woman some time ago who had never really been away out of her hometown. And someone bought her a ticket to go on a railway journey of about 50 miles through a beautiful part of the countryside. And she'd looked forward to this trip with great pleasure, and she was looking forward to seeing so much, but at the time she got onto the train and got herself sorted, and the baskets and the parcels she brought, and she got them sorted, and her skirt adjusted, her seat comfortably arranged, the shades, the shutters right, anxious questions about all the things she'd left behind answered. She was just settling down to enjoy the trip when they called out the name of her station, and she had to get up and get off the train. And she said these words, "If I had only known that we would be there so soon, I wouldn't have wasted my time fussing." Dear Christian, the final station is approaching fast. Your final destination, we know where we're going. But are we wasting time fussing over things that have no count in eternity? Are we taken up with things that really won't matter? Are we focused on the Lord? Enjoying walking with him, doing what we can while we can, because you and I have just a little time. But I want to say to the unsaved in this meeting and the unsaved watching, a little time, that speaks to us of danger for the sinner. See, friend, you've only a little time to consider. You have only a little time allotted upon this earth to consider how blessed you have been. You're not saved, but in this meeting you own a Bible.
You have sat in gospel meetings and you have a knowledge of the Lord and of the gospel and how to be saved. And friend, how foolish you have been. Because you have wasted part of your little time. And you have now less time than you've ever had before. You've not heeded the Bible. You've not accepted God's offer of salvation. You have a head knowledge. But you need to be saved. And God, through his word, seeks to reveal your guilt and your sin and your weakness and your blindness and your foolishness. Someone once said, God compels you to judge yourself and to consider yourself helpless and hopeless so you will cry unto him for forgiveness. Dear sinner, have you ever come to the point in the little time God has allotted you where you're helpless, you can do nothing for your soul, where it's hopeless and you need God to step in? You have only a little time to repent from your sin and to call on the Lord for salvation. What is repentance? Catechism says, repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, does with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God, with the full purpose of and endeavour after new obedience. The Saviour died upon the cross for sinners. He bore the wrath of God upon his own body on the tree. He suffered separation from his Father that we might be reconciled to God. And you have just a little time to prepare to meet God. And that hourglass of time, the sands are quickly passing through. And the sands of time that have been allocated to you may be almost gone. And I warn you, sinner, tonight in this meeting. And I warn you online, each one. There may be just a few more grains of sand left to fall. And then your death will occur. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And then your soul will leave that body and it will go into eternity. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, you say to me, I'm ready to go into 2024. I have my plans made for tomorrow and for next week and my appointment diary's full. But I'm asking you this, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to die? Have you repented from your sin and called on the Lord for salvation? Because nothing else matters. God has given us a little time, and that time is to prepare to meet him. Dear Christian, don't waste your time on things that will not count for eternity. But dear unsaved, don't waste your time and end up in hell. Don't waste this opportunity. The only thing I can say to you tonight about getting saved is what the Scripture teaches. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I dare not say to you, come next Sunday, having thought about it. All I can say is now is the time God is calling sinners to repent. You're in the day of grace. That day is not going to last forever. You may be closer to the deadline than you ever imagined. Is there someone here tonight who needs to be saved? Someone who's lived through decades in their sin, without God, without Christ, without hope in this world, without assurance of heaven, without having ever cried, as the lady sang just a few moments ago, give me Jesus. Well, I have good news for you tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Please use your time wisely. Please don't waste it. Don't spend it in careless sinning that will haunt your soul in hell. But now, while the Lord is calling, now while we sit in this solemn moment, now in the house of God, among the people of God, in the presence of God, call upon the name of the Lord. Don't leave tonight without a Savior. Because remember, you've just a little time. Someday you'll leave this building for the final time. You'll hear the final amen. You'll eat your final meal. And you'll do your final task. Prepare to meet the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we realize that time is a gift from God. And Lord, thou hast blessed us with time. And tonight we are in the land of the living. And in the day of grace. But Lord, there may be souls in this meeting hurtling towards hell tonight, closer than they would ever dare to imagine. Lord, awaken them to their need of a Savior tonight. Show them that nothing but the cleansing and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness imputed will be able to save their soul. Don't allow them to go out without a Savior. But this night, bring sinners to Jesus. Save for the glory of thy name, we pray. For Christ's sake. Amen.